Good morning, everyone. We're certainly happy to welcome all of you that are visiting with us today. We welcome you and we invite you to come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. Don't forget our services tonight. Hope that you can be with us for that. And I was thrilled to death to hear Tommy make that announcement to the congregation as he spoke for the elders concerning the needs of the people that have been undergoing some of the most trying times in life. And it's certainly good to know that you, as a congregation individually, contributed some $5,000. And then all of us from the church treasury, as the elders directed $10,000 to help our brothers and sisters in Christ who is in need. May God be praised and glorified for all that has been done. And one thing I do want to mention again, that is Frank. Kyle is here today and Linda. And we've missed him. We've prayed for him. He's the light of this congregation, and we enjoy him so very much. And we're so glad that he could be with us today. Been asked to speak on the qualifications of elders. Surely, as we find that Connor read today from Philippians chapter 1, God speaks there concerning the church at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. A fully scriptural congregation. And surely we want always to make sure that we go to the Word of the Lord and study God's Word on every subject. The qualifications of elders are found in the Bible. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, to which we'll be referring a lot today. But I want to make a statement here in the very beginning. Sometimes when we talk about the qualifications of elders, I hear people say sometimes, who in the world can ever measure up to those qualifications? But I want to suggest to you something. Now, I restudied this last week. And surely as we look at the Word of the Lord, almost every qualification, with the exception maybe about three or four, every Christian to have that qualification. And we'll notice that this morning. And as we go, I want you not to be thinking that people cannot measure up to it. God would not have given us qualifications concerning men in the church of the Lord as serving as an elder if he had not thought that people could measure up to it. Surely they can. I think we have three wonderful men today who are serving the capacity as elders, overseeing the flock of the Lord. They've got three good wives, and we're certainly grateful indeed for the wonderful things that they're doing. Now let us go to the Bible. Now I want you to be very careful in your attention. In the very first place, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this is a true saying. What is a true saying? If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. Immediately you understand that no woman can be an elder, though there are those who are pushing for women to be leaders. And when we go to the Word of the Lord, the Bible speaks of being the husband of one wife that rules his own house well. The role of women in the church is not of leadership, clearly defined in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. But I want you to notice in the second place that a man, in order to be an elder, he's got to desire that word. Notice what Paul says to Timothy. If a man desire the office, if a man desires it, if he wants to do it, you can't beg him, you can't prod him. No, you can't try to persuade him to be an elder. That individual's got to have that desire. If a man desire, he must desire the office. Number two, he must be blameless. Well, that's not a hard qualification. The word blameless does not mean that an individual's got to be without any sin. The man must be such that can not legitimately find fault with him. He doesn't curse. He doesn't lie. He doesn't steal. Then he's blameless in those areas. And just like with Christians, the Bible tells us with regards to those that are Christians that we be blameless in the sight of God. So an elder must be blameless. In the second place, he must be vigilant. He's got to be very watchful. He is in control. Elders must be watchful concerning and regarding themselves as well as the flock which is among them. If he does not pay attention to his own self as well as to those that he's over, certainly he would not qualify. He must be vigilant. And he's got to have that control, self-control. The fine Paul talks to Titus in Titus 1 verse 8, and an individual must be temperate. He's got to have control. Does not lose his temper easily. And you know the reason for that is because he's got to be a leader. He's got to be a man that's got on his feet. And he's a man that knows what God's will is. And he's practicing that with regards to himself. And he must be an individual that is serious, sober-minded. In 1 Timothy 3, 2 and Titus 1, verse 8, an elder must be one who is sober. He is well-balanced. He's got a sound mind. And he's clear. And he's able to make decisions. And those decisions are based upon his knowledge of the Word of the Lord and what is best for the congregation of God's people. And he must be of good behavior. A.T. Robertson renders it seemingly decent conduct. In other words, he'll be an individual that is not one that flaunts himself. He's an individual that conducts himself orderly. He's an orderly person because he's serving an orderly God. And he's trying to do everything he can with regards to the leadership in the congregation where he is an elder. He must be given to hospitality. 1 Timothy 3 verse 2, Titus 1 verse 8. Literally it means to love those who are in need and helpful and need to be helped. And an elder is an individual to do that. I could tell you stories, but I want of some of your elders here that I've known in days gone by who have gone overboard to help people. People sometimes they don't even know, and nobody in the world knows what they've done. A man that serves as an elder has got to be a hospitable person, an individual that's given to hospitality. And then a man that is serving as an elder has the qualification of being a person that can teach. Apt to teach means able to teach. And why? God tells us why. In Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word. So he's got to know the word. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Look at that. An elder's got to be an individual that's acquainted with the Bible, that knows the Word of the Lord. Why? Because he's got to take the Word of the Lord, the Bible, and whenever there is a problem, he's got to show you from the Bible what the answer is with regards to that. And he must know the truth to the extent that he recognizes error and can show others the truth. And boy, I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to work with men who love the truth. That doesn't mean he knows everything in the Bible. Who does? But he knows how to go to the Bible, to search the Bible, and get people to help him, even himself, to learn more about the truth. He must be an individual that is apt to teach. And he must have a good report. You won't be walking down Athens, on the streets of Athens, and there'll be people that'll be talking about those people who are elders. Who, my friend, if they didn't have, our elders do have. But what if you had men in there that they didn't have a good reputation? Here we find that God says he is to have a good report of them which are without, those who are not Christians, those whom they come in contact with. And they can look at the individual who is an elder and see how this individual is surely doing everything he possibly can to please the Lord. He must not be given to wine, and there's a good reason. How can you think clearly when you're taking something to alter your thinking? How is it that you, who is an elder, individual who is a man, would be drinking before you go to an elder's meeting? No, God says an elder must have a good example. God says not engage in drinking, intoxicants. He must not be given to wine. He must not be a striker. You know what that means? Well, he's not violent. If a conflict arises in the congregation, and I remember one case when I first started to preach where this actually happened. We didn't have elders in the small congregation, but two of the young men, 18, 19 years of age, and one of the men that I had a whole lot of respect for at that time, later I'm sure changed his mind, he said, I know how we can settle this problem. We can take them down the road and let them fight it out. Can you believe that? Violent. Not the fist. The elder's not going to solve a problem with violence. Why? Because he's not a striker. And surely, one who loves the Lord will be one who takes God's word as his means of teaching. Now, he's got not to be guilty of filthy lucre. That's real interesting. 1 Timothy 3:3, Titus 1, verse 7. From Scripture, it appears that some elders were supported financially in their work. That'd be wonderful. Elders would not be tempted to serve for money. Money is not the motivating force, but if they needed to be supported in order to do the work, surely they could be. But that's not what they desire. Money is secondary, or even farther down probably than that. You've got to have a living, yes. But to be greedy, a filthy lucre, is something that God says an elder is not to be guilty of. It's not to be a brawler or contentious. The elder must not have a contentious spirit. And is quarrelsome. Got to have his way about everything. No. An elder wants the Lord's way about everything. His whole desire is making decisions that God wants him to make, not decisions that will profit him. But he's not to be a contentious, quarrelsome individual. And again, in 1 Timothy 3, he's not to be covetous, which includes a lover of money. And surely the difference between the two of them, one is a lover of it and the means of getting is the other. And the Bible tells us, now an elder cannot be a novice. What is a novice? One who has just been converted. He doesn't have any experience within the congregation. He's not to be a new convert. God's leaders must be mature. They've got to be the experienced men who immediately are capable of doing the great work that is assigned to them. And you notice I put that word immediately? As soon as a man is appointed as an elder, that man then is immediately got to use the abilities that God has given him, that he's acquired. He's got to do it immediately. Why? Because action concerning taking care of the king and congregation of God's people is something that must be done immediately. Not a novice. Not a new convert. He must not be self-willed. Titus 1 verse 7. Domineering. Arrogant. 1 Peter 5 verse 3. He must have a character of being an overseer, a shepherd, loving and tender and kind, rather than hindering good relationships whenever he becomes domineering or is arrogant. And he must be an individual not soon to be angry. I don't know about you, but I guess that one qualification right there really stands out in my mind. When an individual can keep his cool, so to speak, when an individual who is an elder of the kingdom of God, when he's being attacked, when he's knowingly knows that members of the church that he's dealing with are doing something directly against him, when he can still be just as cool-headed, he's not angry, he's not soon to be angry. That individual will go a long way in bringing about a solution to something that could be very dividing. Not soon to anger. And he's got to be a lover of good men. He associates with men that are good. He loves good men. He loves people that are doing right. He commends them. And I was thinking the Bible, perhaps Diotrephes, in 3 John verses 9 and 10. He may have been an elder of the congregation because of the fact that the Bible says he was putting people out of the church. He was so arrogant. He lacked the trait of appreciation of goodness in others. You remember how that John wrote concerning Diotrephes that when I come, John said, I will remember his deeds. He's going to have to give an answer for his actions. Elders are to be people, men, who are lovers of good men. Now, the other qualifications that I'm adding, some of these will be nots, negatives. Some of them will be positive. They're all in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. I tried to put them together to show you how important it is when it comes down to men who are appointed as elders. And oh, we need more elders. And we want men who serve God and men who qualify, who meet the qualifications, who men who are faithful, they're here. Men who take care of the work of the Lord, here. When you look at people who are overseers, they're there. Why? They're ready for any problem that may arise. An elder must have good judgment toward all. Equity and fairness must characterize his dealings with everyone, both in the body of Christ as well as those that are not out of the Christ, not in the body of Christ, who are not Christians. He must be just. Look what else he says. He must be holy. He's pure. He does everything he can to make his life comport with the wonderful teaching of the word of the Lord. He is holy. He must be the husband of one wife. Right there would, of course, excuse or eliminate some people. They're not even married. I had a man one time, Franklin wrote in Nashville, he was teaching that a man's not married to be an elder. But if he's married, he had to be married only once. No, my friend, if you look at it carefully, he must be, right now, the husband of one wife. He can't be a polygamist. He must be married, a family man. And surely, as one who is a family man, takes care of his own family, he'll have that experience of taking care of the family of God. He must be the husband of one wife. Then he must be the father of faithful children. Why did Paul and why did God put that in the qualification? Well, there's a good reason. Why? Because he's dealing with a lot of people. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, and Titus chapter 1, the Bible says he's to have faithful children, children who submit to him in his rule, and are Christians serving the Lord. Now, I have read, and you have to. There are some people who say a man doesn't even have to have children to be an elder. Don't believe that. I believe the Bible sustains the fact that a father man, or rather a man who is a father, has God's credential of being acceptable whenever he himself has have children who are faithful members of the Lord's church. Now, you can go out, some people say a man who has one child, that answers the question of having children. You know a way that is right that cannot be wrong? When you don't even have to think about it? When you've got a man who's married, who is a father, and he's got at least two children, that qualification is covered without any possibility of being wrong. And he says, these children are to submit. And they are submitting whenever he's ruling well. And so he can rule the house of God. And you know what? I don't know about you. We had one child, Tim. We adopted him. And boy, I thought something else has happened here to me. I thought I knew a whole lot about teaching children. And we got a little, I tell you what, when we got Tabitha, though, about 8 years later, there is a world of difference in trying to deal with one child and two children. With two children, you have the child-to-child relationship. And surely, with an elder who is seeking to serve the Lord, doing the will of the Lord, he is a father, and he is the father of children, surely as a result of such, two or more that are faithful to God would meet that qualifications. Now, God wants men appointed to this work. I want you to be impressed this morning that these men are not going to just be appointed so they can sign the checks or they can make decisions physically. All of those things are encompassed within their authority. But these men are to feed the flock of God. But how do you feed the flock? You feed the flock of God by teaching and having good teachers. Impart the word of the Lord. In Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Elders are to do what? They are to make sure that the flock is fed. Fed what? The Word of God. And you know why? And this is, a tremendous responsibility, though. They got to watch for your soul. Why? Hebrews 13, verse 17 says they're going to give an account unto the Lord. When you need to be encouraged, when you need to be corrected, these men who serve in the house of God as elders, overseers, are going to see to it that they're going to do everything they can to get you right. That's a tremendous responsibility. Watch, they will, for the souls of the congregation, because they have to give an account to God for that. Number three, there are men who will take the oversight. They're doing it willingly. They've met the qualifications. They're appointed in the congregation. Now what do? Do nothing? Not involved in anything? Or just a few things? No. They've got the whole oversight of the flock of God. There, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, they are shepherds. You've got to take care of everything that deals with the sheep. And fourthly, they need to rule well. And the only way they can do that is for them to do what God tells them to do, make sure their life comports with the gospel of Christ, and make sure that all of us, when we need any kind of help and encouragement or in teaching, that it's done. That's a big, big work. To accomplish this, God's given the church men who serve as elders to teach the word of the Lord with the faithful word and be able by that and showing by their example they're dedicated to serving Jesus Christ. My heart goes out to men who desire to be an elder. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more men like that? God's made a promise to them. You know what their promise is? That promise is? That promise is that they will be rewarded greatly by the Lord. In that great day, when men who have served in the house of the Lord and they have served well, hear the Lord say, well done, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord, because you've done well in doing the work that God wants you to do. In appointing elders, in choosing out men, here are qualifications that we're to be guided by. Men can meet these qualifications, but they must meet every single one of them. They must now be ready to serve in the house of God so that they can function in the oversight of the Lord's church. Next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on deacons. And what does the Bible say concerning deacons? Think about these things. Study on them. Pray for the church at O'Neill. Pray for our existing elders. And pray for men who should be appointed and meet those qualifications. That God will bless us. The same way with deacons. Surely we want just simply to have the church at O'Neill to be a congregation of God's people that are serving the Lord. Serving the Lord right, doing all that God wants us to do, so someday heaven will be our home. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Careless soul, why do you linger? Won't you now obey the gospel? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Then repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized. And if we can help you, if you're a child of God, you've drifted away, we want to assist you and help you in any way we possibly can. Won't you come while together we stand?